Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, good morning here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. Vincent Xavier, we're going to have a live radio broadcast coming on KIRM Radio in just a little bit. We're going to expect a call coming in from the studios, and then we'll be going live for approximately 1 hour. And so while we're waiting for that call, I just want to greet everybody, say God bless you, and so glad that you're going to tune in today. If you happen to be getting this information at the moment, we'll be moving forward here in just a little bit, and we'll get going on a Wednesday. In the interim, we're going to wait for that call, and in the interim, here is Keith Green just singing his heart out. You gotta love it. Hello, David.
Vincent. All right, stand by.
Okay.
10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you can help with this exciting project, donating items to the auction or attending the auction, or maybe you want to just cut a check and donate directly to the project. But any item of value would be appreciated. Cars, boats, campers, furniture, tools, all welcome. It's your opportunity to give a gift that will provide some entertainment for our kids. Now, to have items picked up, call Dave Chastain at 479-633-2359 or Pastor Dick Kelsey at 316-706-5845. Again, those numbers, Dave's number, 633-2359, and Dick Kelsey's number, 706-5845. And Mr. Kelsey's area code is 316-706-5845. Now, the auction will be conducted by Wayne Gastineau, the former owner of Hideaway Campgrounds. His company is Optimistic Auction. His phone number is 479-601-2679. But let's think about the contributions that you might make to this auction to help build this kid's playground. And again, the sale is Saturday, June 9th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
This is Dave Van Horn, head coach of the Diamond Hogs. You're listening to the voice of Razorback Baseball, KURM Rogers, Springdale, Bentonville, and KURM FM Gravette, Southwest City, Siloam Springs.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with all of you today. I want to begin our conversation out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verse 22. Luke 13, 22, and Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, well, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are that last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And again, what prompted that conversation from the Lord was a question. Are there few that be saved? I want to ask you right on the beginning of our broadcast today, are you saved? Do you know what it means to be saved? And, you know, we have a way of kind of drowning out the meaning of things. We walk around, I love you, I love you, I love you, and it loses its meaning. It becomes just a kind of a repeat conversation. And the same thing about being saved. Are you saved? Because the alternative to being saved is not being saved. And if a human being is not saved, well, we have a book that tells us that the eternal state of that unsaved soul will be an eternal state of misery and torment and doom and gloom and things we just can't imagine. And people begin to question God. How could you, God, allow a human being to be tormented throughout eternity because they rejected your good news? Well, the purpose is real simple of salvation is that we have all fallen and we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we have all been infected. And think about this now. We've been infected and defiled and we have become a depraved creation. And the only way to deal with that depravity, with that human stain, with that defilement, with that inward corruption and brokenness is through a restorative act which took place on the cross 2,000 years ago when the Son of Man and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, took this depravity, took this corruption, took this shame, this guilt, this condemnation, this brokenness upon himself. Okay? And so he became sin that we might become the very righteousness of God, according to the book of Corinthians. And so if a person does not yield and accept the antidote to our brokenness, and there is no other antidote in the world, there's no philosophy, there's no atheism, agnosticism, there's no communism, socialism, or any other ism in the world that can cure mankind's condition other than the shedding of the blood of the perfect sacrifice that flowed through the body of Jesus, God's only begotten Son. So God birthed a Son into the universe and then allowed his Son to be the propitiation or the advocacy or the antidote for the human condition. So the human condition is so gross that if it is not healed, there's no point of it continuing on. However, there is an eternal punishment to those who have rebelled against God's grace. Now, you can imagine the hostility or the anger of God, the righteous anger of God, that he gives his Son to die for us, unworthy sinners, and then we reject him. Well, therefore, it is in the absolute justice of God to appoint the sinner that has rejected the knowledge of God into the eternal flames of eternal damnation and separation. But God would not have it to be so. God the Creator, and there are, and I'm talking in general details here, conversation. The details have to be left to God. You know, he is able to uniquely separate, divide, judge to each and every individual's condition, and he's more aware of the heart at the core than any of us are. We just know that Jesus made it, whoever is baptized shall be saved, whoever is not shall be damned. And so whatever that means in the economy of God, I just want to make sure that none of you that are listening right now are on the side of not believing. And I need to somehow convince you that the way of God, the way of the scripture, the way of the gospel, and the way of Jesus is the only true way of salvation. I have a vision in my heart, a desire in my heart to see every lake in Northwest Arkansas, whether it be Beaver Lake, Windsor Lake, you know, Table Rock Lake, or any other lake or water source of river, creek, bathtub, swimming pool, wherever the sources of water are. I have a vision in my heart that during these next several months in June, July, August, and September, that 10,000 souls will be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, not into my denomination, not into my church, but into the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are still looking through a glass dimly. We are still short-sighted in many ways. We are still not in the complete reality that does exist. But I am convinced that that reality does exist in the Word of God through the Holy Spirit's baptismal power. And the most important thing in every human being's life is to repent from our sin, to acknowledge that we have sinned against a holy God, whether we've all been born into sin, and we come to a place of recognizing our sinfulness, and then we continue to sin until we are confronted by a holy God, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the truth and by the light, that this is something that has a death sentence on it. Our sin nature is condemned. No matter how bright, no matter how brilliant, no matter how talented we may be, without the blood of Christ, without the saving power of Jesus Christ, ultimate condemnation is on us. It's the sentence of death that was passed nearly 6,000 years ago when man, Adam and Mrs. Adam, sinned against God. The only way to eradicate that death sentence, to have it taken away from us, is our confession that we are guilty, and yet there is an advocate, there is a propitiation, there is a Lamb of God who is standing in the gap saying, for this one who has confessed their sin, their guilt, their own conscience, bearing witness to their utter depravity, to this one, not only will I pardon, not only do I forgive, but I will also begin a work of restoration and healing in their lives. You're not going to find that in Islam. You're not going to find that in Judaism. You're not going to find that in philosophy. You're not going to find that in the college professor at the university down the street. Ladies and gentlemen, the salvation of your soul and my soul is a work of only God can do. And God is not a religion. God is not in a box. But certainly God has given us his revealed mind in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, that are infallible. Listen, the Word of God is infallible. It is absolutely true. It's only the mind that has to have the interpretation granted to it. And when men who are not born again, who are just simply religious, take that book, well, that's how you get 10,000 different denominations. But to every human being that has come to a personal encounter with Jesus and has come to that private communion with him, acknowledging their condition and seeking his grace, well, there's a transformation of the heart. That's not about religion. That's not about going to my church or your church. That's not about denomination, theology, doctrine, hermeneutics, or any other thing. It is a very personal relationship that God has called us to. Now, Jesus is the reconciler. He's the reconciliation. He's the one that brings you and I, the creation, back to the Creator, our Father, God in heaven. And there is the atonement. So Jesus was telling his generation, seek to enter into the narrow pathway. The way into eternal life is narrow because it takes away the broad in view that all paths lead to God. They do not. For every path that leads a person to Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. But not every path is going to lead people, the human race, back to God. There's only one. And that prescribed way is the Lord Jesus Christ that has laid his life down, that he alone is God's way of salvation. And so this is an imperative for all creatures. This is not just the Christian faith. This is not just something that came out of Judaism. This reality stretches to every person on the planet, presently nearly 7 billion people. There is no salvation in any other name than the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other way of eternal life. And the contrary to that, or the opposite to eternal life, is eternal death. Because the soul, unfortunately, a lot of people would like to think that they just perish. But the reality is that the soul is built and designed for eternity. It does not dissolve at death. There is a eternal reality that is necessary for the salvation of the soul. And that salvation is only in the blood of Jesus the Christ from Nazareth. And even though that began 2,000 years ago, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day. And ladies and gentlemen, it is high time that all creation comes to the revealed knowledge of God, the creator of heaven and earth. Now you say, well, you don't believe in God. Well, you have to start asking some serious questions, folks. Well, where did the sun, moon, and stars come from? Where did the boundaries of the sand of the sea stop the roaring waves from encroaching upon the earth? Where did this whole system of life come from if it did not begin with the creator? There's so much intelligent design to creation that one would have to have more faith to not believe in a creator than to believe in one. And so what you really find in atheism, agnosticism, and all of these isms is a contrariness against God, a rebellion against God, a war against God. And the social engineers of our day and the science of our day and the atheists and the agnostics of our day, they are just simply angry at God because they believe that God is the problem. And they're so angry at God that they can't even disbelieve that there is a God. They actually admit there's a God that they're so angry at because they don't understand God's ways. And so this whole paradigm is about to shift. And the most important thing for every person is that they're really saved. Now, are there people that have come to faith in Jesus Christ and believe that they are saved, but their actions are showing something different? Yes, there is a double danger for those who profess to know God through his son, Jesus Christ, but continue to live like the world in that depraved condition, in that condemned condition. For that, again, is the weakness of religion. I mean, even the devils believe in Jesus Christ, according to the book of James. Even the devils believe, ladies and gentlemen, and they tremble at the revealed knowledge, at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So having said that, there is an urgency. There is a critical mass moment, if you will, at a time when the islands of the seas are enduring volcanic ash and lava, while people are being killed by hurricanes, by wildfires, by volcanoes, by terrorism, by snipers that are shooting them over in Las Vegas and the schools and the churches. We have just gone through a level of anxiety, of judgment. And again, I've got to make this very clear right now. According to Leviticus chapter 26, God deals with nations with different levels of judgment. And if the first level of judgment does not turn the nation back to him, he will release a second level of judgment. And if that second level of judgment does not turn the nation back to him, he will release another wave of judgment. And that level of judgment will be more intense than the first. And ladies and gentlemen, on it goes in the book of Revelation. Seven times will I increase the level of judgment. America, since 9/11/2001, has been experiencing different levels of judgment. And there's no doubt that you and I are coming out of a level of judgment that was severe just in the last 6 months in our country. And I'm telling you the month of June, because there's been kind of a lull, it's been kind of quiet, but not really with all the things going on. The signs are declaring that we are now moving into another level of judgment because our nation is refusing to repent with passion. In other words, God's not interested in the lighthearted repentance. Oh, I'm sorry for what I did, but I don't change it. I'm sorry for murdering 80 million people, babies in the womb, but I'm not going to change the laws. I'm sorry for unleashing the Sodom and Gomorrah reality of men marrying men and women marrying women, but I'm not going to change it. I'm going to keep allowing that to happen. Oh, I'm sorry we have saturated the society with pornography and little children are having their minds totally taken over by demon powers because they click a button and they're watching it. We're sorry, but we're not going to change it, and we're not going to put a leash on the FCC. We're not going to put a halter on the internet. All the internet's going to halt, or people that have a different view than the globalist view. That's all that's about. But we're not, you know, we're sorry that Every time you turn the television on, there's rated R, rated X, PG-13, blasphemy against God. But we're not going to change the laws. You're sorry, but we're not changing. That is not acceptable. So America is ripe for judgment, and we're going to see a level of judgment that's going to hit with an acceleration like a woman in travail. The birth pangs are going to be so intense, and so hard that many Americans are not going to be able to get through this next phase. This is a massive wave that is coming. And so I want to refer to Ezekiel chapter 14. And this is why we're crying out for men and women to turn their life over to Jesus Christ. Because I got news for you. There's no real person that has a real encounter with God through his son, Jesus Christ, that will support abortion, that will support lesbianism, homosexuality, pornography, pedophilia, the legalization of marijuana within our states. There's no way that a truly born-again person would ever condone those immoral acts that are running rampant in society today. So here's what the deal is. It's important for people to get saved because the storm is coming. The flood is coming like in the days of Noah. You could take heed to these words coming out of Ezekiel 14, beginning in verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. So in other words, when God stretches out his hand and he breaks the staff of the bread is representative of the ability to enjoy food. It is the word lechem, which is just the bread. And Bethlehem, by the way, is the house of bread. That's where Jesus was born as the bread of life, Bethlehem. And so you have here the lechem. I'm going to break the staff of bread, okay, which means the food supply is going to get hit. God says he's going to do this, and before you know it, that you're going to be eating the basest of foods, malnutrition. It's not going to be good, healthy food. And in order to buy good, healthy food, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to do so. So God says, I'm going to do this. But he goes on and he says this in verse 14. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Listen very carefully to the wisdom of Scripture. Ezekiel 14:14 says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, in the land, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham was begging God, if there are 10 righteous people in the land, will you spare it? God said, if there's 10, I'll spare it. That was at that dispensation at that time, and there were not 10 people righteous in the land. But in Ezekiel's prophecy, he says, only the righteous will be spared. He's not going to spare the rebellious nation because the righteous are in it. He is going to spare the righteous. And we're not talking about a lukewarm righteousness here. We're talking about the righteousness of a Noah, the righteousness of a Daniel, the righteousness of a Job. So only they would save their own souls by their righteousness. So this conversation, well, there's too many righteous people in America for God to judge it, better be balanced with, no, God will judge the unclean, unholy, rebellious, defiant nation, and he'll only spare the truly, rigidly righteous ones that are in it. Verse 15 of Ezekiel 14 goes on to say, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, these three men were in it. As I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. All right, listen carefully. Verse 17. Or if I bring a sword upon that land, the sword of war, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered, themselves. Verse 19, or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. So in our generation, we say, well, if Billy Graham is in it, or Franklin Graham, or, you know, we have a, you know, good, you know, Christian people somewhere scattered in our society, well, that's enough for us. God's going to hold back the judgment. Well, the reality is, no, God is not going to hold back the judgment, that if there is a truly righteous man or woman of God, that righteous man or woman will only save themselves, not even their own sons and daughters or their grandchildren. And this is the word of God, just like Genesis in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah was the word of God. You have to balance the word of God and know the truth. Now, verse 21, this is where I want to really focus for a moment. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon the land, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. So God has four sore judgments that he will release upon the land. Verse 22 says, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it, and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. In other words, what the prophet was saying is when the righteous are separated and spared from the judgment, but when they begin to see what the people were doing to draw the judgment, the very righteous are going to be comforted, saying, wow, God, you had every right to do that. It's kind of like in Revelation chapter, I think it's 16 or 17, where the angels stop when God's pouring out his wrath upon the nations, and the angels stop and say, Lord, you're righteous to do this, because it shows what men are doing. Ladies and gentlemen, the world belongs to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the earth was created by God, and he's given man an opportunity to do great things within it. And while there have been moments of glorious bliss within the nations of the earth, we have stepped into a paradigm shift. We have stepped into an atmosphere, a condition upon this earth that is gross when you compare it to the eyes of a holy God. The nations of the earth are in turmoil. I was on a radio broadcast this morning talking with a gentleman from Australia, and we wound up in the discussion of what's going on just in Europe, that the mass rape that is taking place in Europe and how people could have ever ignored this issue is beyond me. But just on New Year's Eve, over 1,000 women were raped, were gang raped by Muslims that have taken over large swaths of territory throughout the European Union, the European continent. And nobody's talking about it, but thousands and thousands of young white females are being raped by Muslims. Now, I did a little research on rape in America, and it's off the charts as well. And the difference between the rape that is going on from one sick individual or one horny little boy or whatever, whatever's going on here, or the gang rapes of the MS-13 or the other Bloods, Crips, gangs, whatever. I know if you're a father, if you're a husband, if you're a boyfriend to one of the girls that was raped, it would put rage in your heart. I understand that. But the fact of the matter, when it comes to Islamic rape, this is part of a war strategy, because from the Islamic point of view, the woman that does not dress in a hijab or does not cover herself from head to toe is open game. She is less than a dog. She has no intrinsic value. And so in the Muslim mindset of the jihadi Muslim radical Islamic reality, women are they're open. They're prey. They're the booty. They're the goods. And so 8, 10, 11, 12, 15 Muslim men will take one woman and rape her. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a violation of the human spirit more than anything. And yet there are courts in Europe that protect the sanctity of the Muslims. If you say anything against them, you could go to jail. There's a guy that was talked about. I believe his name is Tony Robbins. And Tony Robertson is a hero over in London that's standing up against this rape culture. It's called groom raping, where, you know, this is they're grooming the society by doing what they're doing. This guy's trying to stand up. They put him in jail for 13 months because he was videotaping a court case of three men, I think it was, or 13, that were involved in gang rapes. And they put the guy into a court. Do the study on it. It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. They're protecting this kind of stuff that's going on. But, folks, it's going to happen more and more around the world. It's happening here in this country. It's going to be en masse. And the only difference in our country is that, I hope that the cowardice is less than the cowardice that's being seen. For the European continent to allow this to go on without rising up in an absolute revolution is shocking to me. I just can't believe that tens of thousands of young girls in Europe are being raped by Muslims, gang raped by Muslims in such an untold multitude of people that they're not doing anything. And courts protecting it. Every man that has the ability to stand up in that country ought to do something. But I guess when you're going to legalize the mass murder of innocent babies through abortion, I guess when you're going to walk down the pathway of legalizing homosexuality, Sodom, Gomorrah, you know, sodomy, all of these things, I guess the results are always going to prove to be the same. They're always going to prove to be the same. I'd like to talk to you a little bit today. We've got about 28 minutes left in the broadcast. If you have any questions or comments to our conversation today, I'd welcome your calls. And we'd like to invite you to get involved in our conversation. The number to call, 479-636-7979, 479-636-7979, or 800-767-7979. Dave is going to be operating the calls. We'll wait for your call to come in. We'll make sure that we are interrupted at any time to bring forth the conversation with you. So are you ready, America, for the next level of judgment that is going to shake this nation? Well, I believe that the earth is convulsing right now. Not only the hurricanes, the wildfires, the volcanoes that are erupting, and the earthquakes that are shaking. Our planet is convulsing. You know why? The Bible says that it can no longer stomach the sin that is being perpetrated upon it. Can you imagine 500 million, and this is reports from years ago, by the way, 500 million abortions, the shedding of innocent blood, saturating into our earth, the terra firma, the sin-sick condition of mankind on our planet. I can't stomach it anymore, folks. The earth is literally convulsing, and it's going into labor pains. And the Bible tells us that the earth is going to shake in the last days. In fact, the Bible tells us that every mountain and island will be moved out of their place. And I'm thinking about all the island activity that's been going on since the hurricanes that have been taking place. And now the volcanoes, the islands of the sea, and it's fulfilling scripture where God says he's going to bring justice to the islands of the sea because they're involved in pagan worship and false gods and, you know, all these different things. And the islands that were once at peace and vacation resorts are being turned into lava fields. And I'll tell you what, if people don't wake up, they're going to see more and more and more until suddenly Yellowstone is going to blow and the ash cloud that's going to blow all over this North American continent is going to be devastating, along with terrorism. And I think too many people have fallen asleep on terrorism. I don't believe that the sleeper cells have gone away. The terror cells have gone away. I believe that they are just waiting for that precise moment. And it's in the next level of judgment that God literally is going to allow these weapons of war to be turned loose against a society that is so reek with blindness and spiritual depravity. And most of the church is sound asleep. They think they're going to fly away in an end-time fairy tale in a pre-tribulational rapture. They actually believe those stories, and I don't know why they believe them. I would think they should read their Bible and get a clue Now, that's not going to happen. And so you have a sleepy church. You have people that are under the spell of mind control through, you know, false media. And you have all kinds of just people watching Legion and Lucifer and, you know, all these television programs and MTV and hip hop and rap and all this stuff. Come on,
Vincent,
folks.
We have a call on the local line. If you were ready to take the call.
Yep, let's take that call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Go ahead, caller. Caller, are you there? And
hello.
He has dropped out.
Okay.
All
right.
He has dropped out.
Okay. Well, we'll wait for that call to come back. Hopefully, they'll call back in. You know, you can't just look at our society and say everything is okay. And you can't go back to 9/11/2001 and say everything is like it's always been. Our world has changed. Our world has changed. Are there good things happening along the way? You betcha. Through the Trump administration, all kinds of great stuff is being accomplished. But is it enough? Remember, God's not going to take lighthearted reform. And all of the decent reforms are not going to stay the tide of judgment. And I would refer people back to the book of Jeremiah, you know, just to get that revelation again. And let me just do a little bit of research on the commentary. In the book of Jeremiah, when God sent his prophet there, he said society was deteriorating economically, politically, spiritually. Wars and captivity dominated the world scene. And God's word was literally deemed offensive. It said that repentance from sin would postpone Judah's coming judgment at the hands of the Babylon. But repentance is one of the greatest needs in our immoral world. And so God promises that he'll bring help along the way. But in further commentary about these things, listen to this. Endurance is not a common quality. Many people lack the long-term commitment, care, and willingness that are vital to sticking with a task despite all odds. Jeremiah was a prophet who endured. Jeremiah had to depend on God's love as he developed endurance. His audiences were usually antagonistic or apathetic to his messages. He was ignored. His life was often threatened. He saw both the excitement of a spiritual awakening and the sorrow of a national return to idolatry. With the exception of the good King Josiah, Jeremiah watched king after king ignore his warnings and lead the people from God, away from God. He saw fellow prophets murdered. He himself was severely persecuted. Finally, he watched Judah's great defeat at the hands of the Babylonians. And then it says here that Jeremiah knew he had to keep going. God had called him to endure. He expressed intense feelings, but he also saw beyond the feelings to the God who was soon to execute justice, but who afterward would administer mercy. And in the commentary, again, we are told that there are no, you know, decent reforms. There is no, you know, small attempt at reform that is going to stay the tide of justice. And so what we see happening in the good part of things is not enough, ladies and gentlemen, to stop what is happening in our country. So what are we talking about here today? We're talking about the need of salvation, the genuine need of salvation. Now, right here in Northwest Arkansas, there are 10,000 souls, and I'm sure there's more. I don't believe there's less. I believe there are 10,000 souls in Northwest Arkansas that need to come out of the destructive lifestyle that they are in, whether it's drugs, alcohol, prostitution, sex trafficking, whether it's political corruption, whether it's internal greed. Whatever the corruption is, I believe there are 10,000 souls in business, among the rich and among the poor, that it is time for God's Spirit to make contact with your heart or the hearts of these 10,000 people. It's time for conversion. It's time for repentance. It's time for confession, not lighthearted confession, not I'm sorry, but then continue to live the lifestyle. If you want to be delivered, and you want to be set free from the destruction that's already hit your life. Maybe it's come through financial despair. Maybe it's come through divorce. Maybe it's come through drug addiction with crystal methamphetamine, heroin, opioids, alcoholism. Maybe your life is being destroyed because you've sold your body to get money for drugs. Whatever the case is, maybe you've been apprehended and you've been accosted and brought into the sex trade reality. There's a way out, folks. There is a way out. Sir, ma'am, I'm telling you the truth. There is a way out that does not have to be filled with rehab centers, all the prison, jail. The way is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I want you to know today that no matter how terrible your condition is, personally, God has sent his son with arms wide open to forgive you, to heal you, to restore you, to give his purpose and plan for your life, and to bring you into eternal bliss, a place called heaven. Do you believe in heaven anymore? Well, if you're anything like I was when I was a young man coming out of the Catholic Church, I believed in heaven. I believed in God. But I believed just because I was a Catholic, I was going to go. But the reality was, is when I had a personal encounter with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and I started reading my Bible, I realized just because I was Catholic did not mean I was going to heaven. And I was not. I always thought I was a good enough person, yet I was a thief, I was a fornicator, an adulterer, a liar. I broke just about every commandment of God that what there was. I was a drug addict. I was involved in all those things, but I thought I was going to heaven. But when I was confronted by the raw data of the gospel of Jesus Christ in its purest form, I was convicted of my sin and the fear of God came into my heart and I cried out to God for mercy. I asked him to forgive me. The ultimate reality is God broke an addiction of heroin, crystal meth, amphetamine, cocaine. God broke sexual addictions. God delivered me and set me free. And for the last 29 years, I have been living as a free man, not a man that keeps confessing what I once was. The blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, the power of the cross, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the goodness of God came into my life and set me free from a generational bloodline curse because my father was addicted to heroin and my sister was addicted to heroin. And there were sexual addictions going back to the third and fourth generation. There were alcoholic addictions. I had been involved in things that will not even worthy to talk about anymore. Thank God. But I'm here to tell you that the gospel that we preach is not a weak gospel. It is not a gospel that only does half the job. It is not a gospel. It's not a Jesus. It's not a Savior that only could save a little bit. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is able to save to the uttermost. And he desires to put his hands on your life as a potter designs to take the clay and to mold it into whatever image he chooses. And I'm telling you that God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He knows you. He knows you're listening to this broadcast right now. And he knows that some of you that are listening have become just simply purely religious. And you're not living in the abundant spiritual liberty that God gave to you. And he wants to put his hands back on your life. And he wants to reshape you out of religion into relationship, so that your life could be flowing with the goodness and the blessing and the bounty of God. A liberty, a freedom. I'm talking about a mental freedom, a liberty in your life that Jesus Christ can give. This is the gospel that we preach. A God of love that is willing to forgive you if you will confess your sins, if you will bow your knee, that you will admit that he is the Lord and you are not, and that you are a sinner, that he's telling the truth. Everybody has sinned, and if you'll receive his mercy and his grace that is in his son, he will set you free. And if you're willing to do that, I'll meet you at the lake. I'll bring you into the baptismal waters. I will not baptize you into our denomination, which we don't have. I will not baptize you into our church. I will not baptize you in my name. I will baptize you into the Lord Jesus Christ and compel you to be immersed in the water of the Word of God and to begin a journey with Jesus wherever he leads you to go. But you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Are you ready to do that? Let's do it this week. I want you to call me. I want you to tell me you want to get baptized. I want to have a conversation with you because, quite frankly, nothing else matters. The doom is coming. And you don't know if you're going to live past another day. You don't know if you're going to live another week. I don't know how much damage you have done to yourself, and I really don't care. But if you're willing, you see, I know a lot of people that think they know God, and they're in so much desperate trouble, they're demonically possessed, and yet they tell you they know God. They don't know God, because every time you try to teach them something that could set them free, they know better than you. That's called
Pastor Vincent, we have a call on the line here.
Okay, so let's bring that call on the line. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Pastor Xavier, I have a question. How does God's ancient law of hospitality fit in with your theology? And thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. I absolutely believe that God is very hospitable. I believe that God is love. I don't believe that God is anything but love. But within the context of his love, he is a just God. And he says that his mercy endures forever upon those who desire mercy. But for a nation or the nations of the earth to not only deny him, but actually openly reject him with a rebellion and a stubbornness and a defiance that would have them actually create laws contrary to him. Well, if you know the scriptures and the ancient laws of God, God did flood the earth in the days of Noah, and God did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and God will bring righteous judgment on a person or a nation or on the very planet that continues to defy him. And the book of Revelation is all about that. So where does hospitality come in? Well, God's hospitable to everybody. He's reaching out to everyone. And if the person that hears the gospel will turn and admit that God is love, but I am a sinner and I'm in rebellion and I'm worthy of judgment because now I see my utter sinfulness, and they will fear God and turn and acknowledge him. Well, I believe that God's hospitality would be stretched out again. I do believe that, but we're very, very, very late in the hour right now. I mean, people are just, are you witnessing the atmosphere around the world? It is not the way it was 40 years ago. 50 years ago, a generation ago, I will say it again. It was not in law that you killed your babies until 1973. You didn't use the word damn on television. And Gone with the Wind was the first time. There was no, you went to prison for homosexual acts. It's our generation that has turned the atmosphere because our government decided to make war with God. We decided to take God out of government, God out of schools, tear down the crosses, stop prayers, remove the Bibles. We went into the 60s psychedelic movement, which led us into an infamous Vietnam War where 50-some-odd thousand young men were killed because there was lies and deception going on. And, of course, that opened the door to abortion, which opened the door to where we are today. And it's a very sick atmosphere. And so God has to cleanse the land. The earth is the Lord's, and he warns us, anybody that defiles this earth, God will destroy. Anybody that defiles his own temple, God will destroy. Let's take that call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, I would like to make a comment and tell you something that happened approximately 24 years ago. Well, it was in 1990, and I was with this man of God from Romania. His name was Dimitri Durban, and we had gone into Minneapolis, Minnesota, because he was going to be in a TV program there, and I took him there. And the situation was this. There was sin in the camp of where we went, and he told me, he said, "Sister, this doctrine they're teaching about love, love, love," he said, "many people will go to hell." Because he said, they are not being told the truth. God does not, sin is sin, basically. That was what he was telling me. And I thought, yes, my God, people have to realize there's a difference between the judgment because of sin and then showing love to people because they're ignorant.
Well, I think you make an excellent point. And the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Not the beginning of wisdom is God is a God of love. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, to know that God, and this is what Jesus said in the Gospels, do not fear them that are able to kill the body, and after that, there's nothing they could do. But I'll tell you who to fear. Fear God, who after he kills can cast both body and soul into hell. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the wisdom of, oh, God is a God of love. No, fear God and then learn about God's justice and righteousness as a God of love. But we've perverted love. We think pornography is love. And I found out that most people that demand God to love them are the very ones that disobey God's word. Thank you for the call. God bless you. Okay, so the lines are open, 479-636-7979. If you have any questions or comments about what you know what I just said and what our last caller said is very true. You know, it is the beginning of wisdom to know the fear of God, that you and I were on the wide road that leads to destruction. And if we did not get a wake-up call and we don't fear God's righteous judgment and his wrath, you know, everybody wants God to be a mamsy-pamsy. Everybody wants God to be a God of love. But yet we spit in his face. We ignore him. We fight against him. Now I'm telling you, we are getting ready for the next level of judgment. Another cycle of judgment is coming. Watch this. Even during these 4 months while people are getting saved, because they're going to see some scary things taking place, there's going to be outrageous judgments falling on the land. Most won't recognize it as judgment. They'll just think what they always think because they're blind to the truth of God. But the judgments will hit. We'll be talking about them. And it's going to lead up into right around October again. Man, oh, man, that October surprise seems to be more growing. It's more right now than probably ever before. And we'll see. June 12th, there's supposed to be a meeting in Singapore with Kim Jong-un and President Donald J. Trump. We'll see where that goes. We'll see how that works out. There's a prophecy that just came out that the whole world will be dark at the same time. Folks, you have no idea what's coming down the pike. We talk about gang rape in Europe. Wait till the lights go out. Wait till the dirty bombs start flying in the inner cities of American cities. It's coming. And the silence before this next move has been deafening. And yet it hasn't been that silent. I mean, volcanoes are going off around the world right now. What's next? The next wave of judgment. It's a sevenfold cycle of intensification and acceleration. You think it was bad when the six hurricanes were coming out, when people were getting shot going to church in Texas, 26 people to be in fact, in a Sunday morning worship service, 58 people shot and killed in Las Vegas at a concert called the Harvest Concert, 17 children in Parkland, Florida, went to high school, were shot and killed. You think this was all bad? The wildfires that hit California. But the defiant, blasphemous people in our society and in our governments that are defying Almighty God, and the light-hearted repentance, the slow turn of repentance in our judiciary still leaves an open door. Get ready. Sevenfold judgment in intensification, acceleration. Just think, a woman in travail. When these birth pangs started back in 9/11, ladies and gentlemen, they have never stopped. The birthing of a new world order is on the way. The birthing of a one world.
We have another call on our local line.
Let's take that call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Pastor Vincent, this is Madeline again. I just wanted to let you know, when you said about the earth, you know, revolting about all of this sin, I used to tell my kids years ago when all of this began to happen that we had gone to a restaurant one time, and all four of them were pretty young then, but I mean, they were 10-ish, you know, and on down, but they got a hold of some type of food that made them, all within 30 minutes, all four of them were just violently throwing up, you know. And so I told them, after we went through that experience, I said, you know, that sin does to the earth. It is causing it to violently throw up. And so I thought when you brought that up, I just had to call and tell you about that.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. It makes so much sense. You keep putting garbage into it, and you can imagine 80 million abortions right here and then 500 million around the world. Very, very intense. Thank you for the sharing. And I want to go out of the broadcast. Yes. Yes, God bless you. I want to go out of the broadcast today by saying this to our listeners, okay? This is intense conversation, but it's true conversation. It's real, and it's really happening. It's not make-believe, okay? The make-believe is I'm going to fly away in a preacher of rapture. That's make-believe. That's fairy tales, okay? Those are doctrines of demons to disarm people from preparing for what's coming down the pike. What I want to share with every true believer that's listening to this broadcast right now, get out there and start winning souls. Take them to some water and baptize them. You don't need your pastor's permission to do so, but if you have a good relationship with your pastor, then tell them, hey, I met Johnny or Susie, and they want to get baptized. You know, if you have a relationship, then absolutely. But listen, it's time to get on assignment, folks. The church has got to break out of the four walls, us four and no more mentality, and we need to all get out there and enjoy this summer. You like going to the lake? Go to the lake, but baptize some people while you're there. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ in his unadulterated reality. Bring the purity of the gospel that pierces the heart, that brings men and women to repentance. It's easy to do when you're led by the Holy Spirit. I was playing a tennis match yesterday, and after the tennis match, I was standing around with the guy I was playing tennis with, and a guy was just walking by, and I looked at him, and I said, hello, how are you? He came out of the way, came down, started talking to us. He's from Australia. We're having this conversation, and I just came out of my mouth, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And he started laughing. He says, no, I'm not going there. And turned out he had fibromyalgia in his knees. I said, would you mind if I prayed with you? Jesus loves you. Two or three times before you leave, he's going to reveal himself. He's after your heart. The ministry went forth. He said, Vincent, if you want to pray for me, then go ahead and pray for me. And right there on the spot, I prayed for this man, and you should see his eyes lit up. I'm telling you, the harvest is ripe. Get out there. Win souls. Tell people about Jesus and help me to broadcast the gospel. Help me. All I need is some finances. And if everybody will pitch in a little bit, we'll continue to do what we're doing and have been doing for 5 years. I love you guys. God bless you. I hope the truth has not offended you. And if you feel like it has, get over it. Let the truth do what it's got to do. Let's get together and do some great things in Northwest Arkansas. Join me in the vision. 10,000 souls baptized between now and October. God bless you. Shalom. We'll see you Wednesday, Lord willing.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. And